went by before anyone noticed that there was a musician playing. One man slowed his pace. He stopped for a few seconds, and then he hurried up to meet his schedule. A minute later, the violinist received his first dollar tip. A woman threw the dollar as she walked on by him playing the violin. Then we find that the one who paid the most attention to him was a three-year-old boy. His mother tagged him along, and we find that the ones who paid the most attention were kids who would stop to look at the violinist playing, but time after time, the mothers or fathers would pull their children hurriedly along. So this action was repeated several times by children. Now, after 45 minutes of playing, this musician only had six people stop and stay for a while to listen. About 20 gave him money, but they continued walking at their normal pace. At the end of 45 minutes, he collected $32. And when he finished playing and silence took over, no one noticed. No one applauded. No one stood up. No one recognized him. But also, the thousands who had walked by did not know that this violinist was Joshua Bell, the one of the best musicians in the world. He played one of the most intricate pieces ever written for the violin, and he played it on a violin worth $3.5 million. 2 days before playing in the subway, Joshua Bell had sold out at the Boston Symphony Hall, and seats were on average going for hundreds of dollars to spend time to listen to him play. What a beautiful piece. What a beautiful musician. But it was all neglected as the people went by. It was almost like a performance that was not delivered. In similar manner, we find a story in the book of Luke that reminds me of this story, because there was a crowd, a choir of singers that had been booked for a special occasion. And this special occasion had been booked for thousands of years since the time of Adam and Eve, when the promise had been given of the Messiah. So they must have been practicing for thousands of years. They must have been perfecting their lyrics for a very long time. And now the moment has come for them to perform at this great event, the birth of the King. And they come down, maybe dressed in their best. They had practiced right before they came, and they're ready to deliver that concert. That choir is ready to deliver the most beautiful, beautiful songs ever heard to mankind. But as they come down, they find that the people are not ready to listen. The book Desire of Ages, a biography on the life of Jesus, says it in this way: above the hills of Bethlehem are gathered an innumerable throng of angels. They wait the signal to declare the glad news to the world. Had the leaders in Israel been true to their trust, they might have shared the joy of heralding the birth of Jesus. But now they are passed by. What a disappointment. They come to Jerusalem, the city that's supposed to be ready to celebrate the birth of the Messiah. They're ready to sing and light up that place with their glory and song. And as they come, no one's waiting to turn in their ticket for that concert. There's not a line around the block. In fact, most people are probably sleeping that night. No one is praying for Jesus to come. No one is expecting it. And they're looking and they're looking, but there's nowhere to perform, because they'll only perform if there's an audience ready to hear. And so they put their heads down and they start heading home. A performance that's not going to be delivered. But as they're heading home, and they're heading over the hills overlooking Jerusalem or Bethlehem, they find that there's a group of humble shepherds talking and looking forward to the coming Messiah. And there we find this beautiful story of a concert and a song almost not delivered, but finally it was delivered. So turn in your Bibles with me, and we go to this beautiful passage in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. And when we get to verse 14, I want you all to read with me together, just like if you were one of those angels overlooking the hills of Bethlehem. So Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And when we get to verse 14, follow along with me. And it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Wow. Can you imagine that beautiful scene? Can you imagine that scene? Suddenly, the Desire of Ages puts it this way. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." Then the joy and the glory could no longer be hidden. The whole plains was lighted up with the bright shining of the host of God. Earth was hushed and heaven stooped to listen to that song. Heaven stooped to listen to that song. Heaven itself wanted to hear that song that was supposed to be delivered to earth, yet there was only few that were ready to listen to those wonderful words, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Now, I want to get into these lyrics because I don't know what the whole song was. I imagine that this concert was more than just this. But for some reason, God has just written these lyrics down. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So we need to get into these lyrics and understand them. Lyrics are important. There's a reason that they're connected with songs. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing. For me, since I grew up in the world before I was converted, usually it's a bad thing. Around this neighborhood, you know that there's a lot of parties that happen once in a while. I love winter, because winter comes, they stop partying outside. And sometimes I sit in my office, and it's right there facing these houses, and I sit in my office, and I get like 6 hours of boom, 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 boom. And the worst part is that they play songs that I grew up listening to. And so I'm listening to the songs, and I know every song by memory. It's like, I know every single word. I'm like, "Lord, how's that still in there? Get that out. How do I know the next words that are coming?" Lyrics are important. And God gave us these lyrics for a reason. So let's get into them. What do they mean? So we're going to learn a couple things from the lyrics. And the first thing we want to learn is from "Glory to God in the highest." We learn from this text and from the story of the birth of Jesus that other works of God are for his glory, but the redemption of the world is for his glory in the highest. Other works of God are for his glory, but the redemption of this world is for his glory in the highest. There's some things you will do in life that people will recognize you for and say, "Job well done." But then there's that one thing in life, maybe that one thing in life that you will accomplish that you will be known for, that people will say, "Wow, there's nothing else that he could have done or she could have done in life. This is the greatest thing." God can be given glory for many things. But for this, when that baby child came into the world, that was for his glory to the highest. Now, what does it mean to give glory? We don't say that much anymore, do we? Glory. We don't use that word very much. But there's some synonyms of glory. One of them is praise. Praise to God in the highest. Another one is worship. Worship to God in the highest. The other one is adoration. Adoration, God deserves our adoration in the highest. Veneration, God deserves our veneration in the highest, our honor in the highest, our reverence in the highest, our exaltation in the highest, our homage in the highest. And I like these two last ones, our thanksgiving or thanks in the highest. What God did by sending his son was the best thing that he could do for us. The highest thing to give his glory. I think of it this way. When that child came into the earth, all of his saving grace was in that little child. You know, the example that people use is in an acorn, there exists a forest. Have you ever heard of that saying before? And think about that. In that little acorn, there could come thousands, hundreds of trees. They grow to these enormous size, and they're all contained in this little seed. And that little child was contained all the saving grace for all humanity. And that's why it was glory to God in the highest. So as I was reading this story, what really caught my attention was who was singing the song. Who was singing this song as we read Luke chapter 2? The angels. But where was Jesus coming from to come to earth? He was coming from heaven. So who was he leaving? He was leaving the angels. And so I was very interested in this. Jesus is leaving them, but they are singing glory to God in the highest. But when he comes to earth, the ones he's coming to, there is silence. And so if there's anyone who should be singing the loudest during this time of the year, it should be us Christians. But we shouldn't be singing glory to God in the highest, because we don't dwell in the highest. We should be singing glory to God in the lowest, because that's where we dwell. For he has come to the lowest, and great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus was the greatest gift that heaven could give me, and he could give you. And that's why we give gifts to each other during this season, to remind us of the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, whether we receive it and whether we are thankful, it's another story. Because we can receive or we reject, and our happiness will be based on that. You guys know what it is when some people are thankful for gifts and others are unthankful for gifts. How many of you were spoiled when you were little? Anybody spoiled when you were little? Come on, I'm about to share a story. Someone get with me here. I'm going to open up my personal life here. And I know, and everybody's like, nope, Pastor, you're the only unholy one here. Nope, you're the only one who was selfish. I was a spoiled, and especially as a teenager, I was a little bratty. I was a little self-centered. It happens with teenagers sometimes. And I remember my parents, it was one Christmas in particular. Mom, if you're watching, I'm sorry. I never said sorry for that one time, Christmas. But she went shopping and she got me clothes. And, you know, I'm opening my Christmas gifts and it's not my style. And so I grab them, look at them, give that dirty look to my parents and say, did you get a gift receipt? And then, you know, they're like, no, you know, Hispanic people, we don't know about gifts receipts. You know, here, this is your gift. And I say, thank you. And then I put it down, and on purpose, I leave it there, right? I'm going about my rest of the day. The next day comes, and it's still sitting where I opened it, right? And I'm not touching it. And my poor parents, you know, working so hard, giving me that gift, and here I am. I don't want that gift. I don't want that gift. Well, many people don't want that gift. Many people don't want that gift that heaven came to give. But I love it when people really receive a gift and they really rejoice about it. And one of the stories that popped in my mind, I was thinking about this, was when I went to do a missionary preaching trip to Rwanda. And in Rwanda, it was still recovering from the war, so it was still a very poor at that time. Now the country is doing a lot better. But I remember going there and we took soccer balls to the kids, but you know, there's so many kids, and you give one soccer ball to one kid and two, and then pretty soon your five soccer balls are gone, and, you know, there's so many other kids who didn't get anything. And fortunately, there was a lady who had recommended that we take stickers. You know, you could get a lot of stickers, right, on a sheet. And I remember gathering a bunch of kids together after a sermon and letting them know that I had something to give them. And I felt bad. I didn't have much to give them, just a sticker. But as soon as I pulled out the stickers, their eyes lit up. And as I started peeling those stickers and giving it to each one on their hands, and you know, they just, their smiles got bigger and brighter. And I said, wow, you know, reminding me of my past years. I've been so ungrateful, but these people receiving this little thing are so happy and grateful. There they are, look at them. They're smiling so big for that little stickers that they have. And so I wonder, when I'm here and I'm walking through California last November, and California is packed with people, you understand? Packed with people. And for some reason, my mother decides, she's still giving me gifts, by the way, decides to take me to the mall on Black Friday. And the mall is packed, you could barely walk. But you know, as a spiritual person, your eyes are always on the people, right? Eyes are always on the people. And here I'm watching people rushing back and forth, buying on all that stuff, time the store is gonna close. But every once in a while, I see that person sitting down. It could be a mother, father, different people. And they got this blank stare on their face. Or I got this sad look on their face. They have this look of just unhappiness. And no matter what gifts they get that day, it's not going to change that, is it? It's not going to fix that. Because God gave us the one gift that really will show us how much He loves us, and that will give us true happiness. But if we haven't accepted it, no matter what we get in life, it won't satisfy and fill that gift that we need in our hearts. So what is it with you today? You might be getting a new iPhone whatever tomorrow. You might be getting a nice dress or a new suit or a new tie, a new Bible for some of you, hopefully all of you, right? New spiritual books. I don't know what you're getting tomorrow, new Nike shoes. But let me tell you, none of those gifts will put a smile on your face for all your life. A smile like this. None of those gifts will put a smile for your whole life like the gift of Jesus Christ. Because that's a gift that keeps on giving. And that's why the angel sang, glory to God in the highest, for that gift that God gave. But the song is not over. The song continues. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what?
Peace.
And on earth, peace. Yes, we put up the signs, right? Peace. And we learn here, from this verse, we learn, if God be at peace with us, all peace results from it. Really, if you hear the song is telling us that the meaning of this cosmic event of Jesus coming to the earth is really peace. That's really the whole story. Jesus' birth was to bring peace. And so the angels came to give that message through this song, a message of peace. But it's not the peace of there's not going to be no more war. It's a different kind of peace. You know, if you go to Israel today and you were walking through the streets of Jerusalem, the Jews still greet each other with the word peace. But they don't say peace. They say shalom. Have you heard of that word before?
Yes.
Can you say that to me? Can you bless me with peace?
Shalom.
Shalom, pastor. It's one of the greatest things you get to say to someone. You walk in the street and you say, shalom, brother. How's your day going? Shalom, sister. How's it going? Peace unto you. Blessedness, fullness to you. And the angels came to tell not only the shepherds, but tell the whole world that this child was bringing peace to the earth. He was to bring peace, but they introduced him as a Savior, Christ the Lord. What does that mean? That means that in order to receive the peace of Jesus, you must receive him as he came. You must receive him as Savior. You must receive him as Christ. And you must receive him as Lord. And so we learn that that means rescuer. That means the anointed one or chosen one. And that means God himself. If Jesus means that to you, then you have access to this peace that he is talking about. Now, the beautiful thing about getting peace from Jesus Christ is that if we have peace with Jesus, then all other peace comes from that peace. Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, then there's a pivotal... Let me read it from my notes here. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with who? With God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we have peace with God, all other peace will flow from that. It's like a marriage analogy. How many of you are married here this morning? Okay. Now, you understand what I'm going to be talking about when we say that peace at home means you have peace in other places. And having no peace at home means you don't have peace anywhere else. Because if there's no peace in the home, if you and your wife are arguing, or you and your husband are arguing, and you just have bitterness towards each other, doesn't matter if you're getting a promotion at work, doesn't matter if you're getting a raise, doesn't matter if you're getting straight A's, doesn't matter if everything else is going well in your whole life, if you know that the home is not right, there's no peace anywhere. But if you and your husband or wife have that loving relationship where there's peace and joy and happiness, man, you could be eating from a cardboard box. You could be sleeping with a bed on the floor, the mattress on the floor. You could be eating from the Taco Bell $1 menu. And everything is great because you have peace with the one that you love. What the Bible's trying to tell us when the angel said, joy to the world and glory to the highest, peace on earth, was this. That if you have peace with God, it will flow to other areas of your life. Do you need peace in other areas of your life? If there's one thing I could say this world needs, is peace. We have troubled hearts. Many of us are troubled by relationships, by finances, by decisions, by hurts, by pains. But if you accept Jesus and his peace, that will flow into other areas of your life. Thank you, Jesus, for that lyric. That really helped me. Now, we end with this. The last part says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. And it ends with goodwill towards men. And this is what we learn. All the good we have or hope is owing to God's goodwill. And if we have the comfort of it, he must have the glory of it. You know, God has goodwill towards you. And the two Bible verses that stand out in my mind the most are these beautiful verses found in Jeremiah in the book of Psalms. Listen to this if you doubt God's goodness in your life. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God's goodwill. But then he continues in Psalms chapter 84. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is a man that trusteth in thee. But the great thing about God is that he's not all words and no actions. God demonstrated his goodwill towards us by sending his son to come into the world as a child to die for us as an adult. And so this song teaches us that the greatest thing that happened to humanity and the greatest glory you could give to God is his son Jesus Christ, and by you accepting what he has to give you today by him. Now, during this Christmas season, this might be the first time you're back in church in a while. This might be the first time you're in church in months, or maybe even in years. And I was thinking about that. Because there's something that happens during the Christmas season. even though the world is trying to distract us with shopping and commercials and all this stuff going on, for some reason, I think God's Spirit really works during this time of the year. I really think that people's focus is narrowed and they come to the point and they ask the question, who is Christ? Who is Jesus? And what does he mean to me? And maybe for some reason, if I go to that church, there's a church just down the street, University 7th Avenue Church, maybe if I walk in there, maybe if I walk in that church, I might find out what this fuss is all about. Why are people celebrating this? What is going on? And let me tell you, you've come to the right place. Because let me give you the reason. We at University 7th-day Adventist Church remember Jesus Christ today. Let me give you the reason. Can I speak on your behalf, church? Amen. This is why I was converted. And I'll give you an analogy, an example. I was watching YouTube videos last night of people opening up Christmas gifts. Have you seen that before? You look up the top 10 Christmas gift unwrappings. And you see these kids, and they get the gift that they've wanted for so long. And I remember this mother, she had this huge box, and the present was this small. It was some kind of game console or something like that. And the kids opening up the big box and the smaller box. He opened up like 8 boxes. He finally gets to the last one, and he opens it up, and it's just what he wanted and needed, he thinks. And he does this. Yay! 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 And he runs over to mom and hugs her. Dad hugs her. And all of a sudden, then the tears start to stream down his face. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. You know why I came to Jesus Christ? Because I saw other Seventh-day Adventist Christians who were happy. And I wasn't happy. You know why I became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian? Because I saw people had joy that I did not have. And I wanted to know what they had that I didn't have. And they had the gift of Jesus Christ. So if you're wondering today why we're here, it's because of that gift. If you want that peace, if you want that joy, if you want that happiness, why not accept that gift today? So let's bow our heads and close our eyes, because I want to give you the opportunity, whoever you are today, maybe you've been coming here for years, and that gift has gotten old. Maybe you never accepted that gift, or maybe you've come to church after years, and this is the first time, and you want that joy and happiness in your life that only Jesus could give. Today's the day you get to accept him. Friends, you want that joy, if you want that peace through Jesus, would you raise your hand and say, I want to start that relationship. I want to accept that gift. I want to sing like the angels, glory to God in the highest and glory to God in my life. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, look at the hands raised. These are your people. And even though we don't sing as beautifully as your angels do, we sing with all our heart. With all our joy, with all our convictions, that you, through your Son, have given us everything, and you have withheld nothing, and we need not do anything except accept that gift. Help us, Lord, during this season to remember that, and give us the joy, happiness, and peace that only you can give. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.